It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you're here. Today, we have a really cool guest who's going to be talking about one of my favorite topics and one of yours, I hope, too, if you're listening to this, and that's retirement. Right? We're all working toward getting to retirement, but we don't want to run out of money before we run out of life. So we got to make sure we do it right. And so we've got a best-selling author of a book called Sound Retirement Planning. And he's also, well, the book is called Retirement Calculator. How much do I need to retire? He's also a fellow podcast host called Sound Retirement on the Sound Retirement Radio Network, which is more than a million downloads. And it's a top podcast in the category of retirement planning. So we're kind of in the same circles. And I always love to get guests like this gentleman on because we always get different angles on that retirement strategy. So he's been on ABC, Fox, NBC. I could tell you all about this stuff. He's got a cool invention called the retirement. Let's see, what's it called here? Retirementbudgetcalculator.com. And that's basically a software as a service that helps you achieve clarity, confidence, and freedom. But I'm not going to tell you about it. Let's let him tell you about it. Let's welcome Jason Parker. Jason, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Mark, thank you so much. What an introduction. Man, you're good at this. I appreciate you bringing me as a guest onto your show. Thank you.
Great. Good to have you. And let's jump into it because you talk a lot about retirement. And I'd love to hear your backstory about how you started and why retirement is like where you've kind of niched down to and why it's so important to you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had the good fortune to have a mentor when I was in my mid-20s. A gentleman named Dean hired me. And when he hired me, he was working for a company called GE Financial, and he had hired me to be a long-term care insurance agent. So that's how I got my start in the finance and personal finance space. It was in the insurance side of things. I had been working in banking before that, but this was when I really first started working with people in the retirement space. And one of the questions that people would ask me when I would meet with them is, do I even need long-term care insurance? Is this something that we need to be considering, or would I be okay without it? And of course, there's really no way to answer that question unless you're going to do a comprehensive analysis right. For people. So what I found was I was like the world's absolute worst insurance salesperson. I was not good at long-term care insurance. So my friend Dean, he had owned his own broker dealer in Montana years earlier. And he, again, as my mentor said, Jason, I think you'd really be a lot better on the investment space and the investment side of things. And so we started doing financial planning. I started doing financial planning for people to help them answer the question, are we going to be okay? Do we need something like long-term care insurance? How should we invest our money? And that's what got me started in the retirement space. And so I've been working with folks in retirement ever since. And one of the great things about this field for me, Mark, especially as a young man when I was starting in my early 20s, is I got to work with a lot of people that had a different perspective on life. And I got to see the choices that they made and what a good life looked like later in life. And so it's really been influential for me to not just help people on that retirement journey from the investment standpoint and from the financial planning standpoint, but for me to be able to see have a vision for what I want my family to look like, what I want my own retirement to look like. And so it's been really a rewarding journey.
Well, you opened up something for me that I really want to go down into. And that is you've seen a lot of people and you've seen the choices they've made, right? So you don't see them when they're making the choices, obviously, but you get to see the results of those choices. So why don't I just put you on the spot and ask you, what are some of the choices that you've seen that have led to a really great life? And maybe what, if you want to juxtapose that with, what are some mistakes that people have made in their planning for retirement and planning for a really successful and happy life?
Yeah. Well, this always brings us down a path that's not necessarily finance related when it comes to the best decisions. But what I found, in my early 20s, I had been raised in a Christian household, but in my early 20s decided to become an atheist. As a result of actually reading the Bible, I got to the book of Leviticus and I was turned off. I was like, I don't understand this. This is not for me. And so anyways, one of the things I found by working with a lot of people that were really successful in life is that they had a foundation in Christianity, and that significantly influenced me. So in my late 20s, I was 29 years old when I became a believer, when I handed over my life, when I surrendered to Jesus. And that is two things. Number one, the influence that I saw that it had on the people that I served and what their life looked like later in life. And then also for me, the impact that that's had on my life. I mean, if there was one thing I would tell people, money aside, that has had the most significant, meaningful transformation from a young, angry 25-year-old kid to a believer that sees hope and joy and just all the things that our Savior Jesus brings us. So I would say that is the biggest thing. Now, in terms of financial mistakes, I'm really good at my own mistakes. I can share a bunch of my own, but some of the things I've seen from working with people that are getting ready for retirement is a lot of people, as their income increases over the years, their lifestyle increases with their income, and they never really get good at saving and investing. And so by the time they come to meet with me, if they're 55 years old, they don't have a whole lot saved because they've been spending their whole life. And so a mistake I see people make is it's just really easy to fall into that trap of spend more, upgrade your lifestyle, drive a nicer car, go on better vacations, live in a bigger house. And then they never save anything for retirement. By the time they figure out, boy, I don't want to work forever, it's, you know, they've lost the opportunity to have compounding working for them. So that's a big mistake. Sure. For me, one of the biggest mistakes I made was actually just very recently financially in 2020. And I had the opportunity to buy this piece of property that was absolutely beautiful. Had never been on the market. It was a family piece of property. It had been around for 100 years. This was real estate. It was 20 acres, and the folks came to me and they said, here's what we're going to sell it for. And it was right at the time that COVID was hitting, and I didn't know, you know, what the world was going to look like. And so I didn't want to make that financial commitment. So I said no in March of 2020. Mm. In July of 2020, I went back to them and I said, you know, I do want to buy that piece of property. And of course, by that point, they had a lot of other buyers that had expressed interest. So they said, well, bring us your best offer. And my best offer was several hundred thousand dollars less than the guy that ended up buying it for all cash. And so that was one of my biggest mistakes. You know, I had a great opportunity. I let the fear of the moment, the fear of what was happening in COVID, cause me to be conservative, which, you know, there was just a lot of unknowns. We didn't know what was going to happen at that point. So I don't know if I would have done it. I mean, with hindsight, you know, it's always easy to look back and say, boy, I should have pulled the trigger and just moved forward in faith. But so that was a mistake personally that I made financially.
Interesting. So what I've gleaned so far from this conversation, and it's things that I agree with in general, and that is having good values, being a good person, and having basically family values, because I think our society, our culture is losing these family values, these adherences to the Judeo-Christian beliefs that our country was basically founded on. I think that's critical, because otherwise we don't have a moral compass as we try to navigate our lives toward getting toward retirement. And then you've also said that maybe we spend a little bit too much. And that's certainly a common thing that happens with not just Americans, but around the world. You want to keep up with the Joneses, and you want to always have a new car or a bigger house. And we don't really need the Louis Vuitton purse compared to the Michael Kors purse that we have maybe, but I guess sometimes we think we do. And then finally, fear can cloud your decisions. And I talk about that all the time, mm-hmm. because I always say, you know, I make some of my worst decisions when I'm emotional. When emotions go up, intelligence goes down. So you have to be able to have a nice grounding when it comes to making those decisions, especially the financial ones. So that's a great start. I mean, I love it. That's a good place to go. Now, we're plodding along. We're middle-aged. We've been working. We're raising our families, things like that. And all of a sudden, we realize, and this is a lot of my customers right now, is they say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Now the kids are out of the house. I'm in my 50s, and now they look at retirement and go, oh my God, I haven't really done anything. So what do you recommend if somebody gets into that position, and you know, what do they have to do to catch up?
Yeah. Well, you know, the great thing about retirement, and first of all, Mark, let me say you're a really good listener, and you're really good at taking what you've heard and repeating it back. So that's really great. But retirement is, it's very simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's three numbers. And it doesn't matter when you get started, but everybody's gonna have to figure out these three numbers. Number one is, how long are you gonna live? That's the first number you have to know. And of course, that one's an unknown. We could all get hit by that proverbial bus tomorrow. But we have to have some idea. And so we usually start that conversation around family history. You know, how long did your parents live? How long did your grandparents live? What's your lifestyle like? What's your health like? Give us a starting point. Another good starting point is the Social Security Administration. They've got the average mortality table. So we need to know how long you're going to live, because that's going to determine if you've saved enough to be able to retire. The second number that you have to know is, how much have you saved? So for people that are, you know, in that, like you said, middle-aged life, they're just trying to, they're saying, okay, I have maybe 10 or 15 more years. Maybe they don't have a lot saved, but they need to know what that target is. What do they need to get to? And then the third most important number is how much do you spend? Retirement is really an exercise in cash flow. It's really understanding how much you spend that really determines if you've saved enough. So when you have those three numbers, you have some idea how long you're going to live, you know how much you've saved, and you know how much you spend, then we can back into all of the numbers and say whether or not you're going to be able to retire. If you're not going to be able to retire, that's when you're going to have to make some really critical choices about what the future looks like. Now, I know there's a big thing out there these days called the FIRE movement, financially independent, retired early. And I love it. I love it in the sense that people want to be financially independent and choose whether to work. The thing I don't love about that movement is this idea that you're just going to sit around and play pickleball or play golf all day and not do anything significant, meaningful with your time. I don't think we're here to just, experience leisure and pleasure all the time. I think we're designed to contribute. And I think people lose a lot of purpose and meaning when they lose that contribution. So while I love the financial independent part, the retired early, you know, I see some of these doctors that are, they've got all this education and we need their expertise so badly, but just because they're financially able to retire, they're stopping working at a time when we really need doctors in our country. So I would just encourage people to maybe think differently about how they work rather than stopping work altogether. But yeah, you get those three numbers dialed in and that's what's going to help people have clarity, confidence, and freedom. That's what we're always trying to teach people how to achieve is clarity to know what's most important in your life, confidence to know the numbers are going to work. And then we want them to experience freedom from fear and freedom from greed. And that's what having a good financial plan allows people to experience.
I love it. You and I resonate on so many levels. The one level I think is this purpose thing is that somehow we got bamboozled into thinking that we have to work until we're 65 or 67 years old. And then we're done and we sit around and watch, you know, cable news for the rest of our lives until we basically are committing voluntary suicide. And I saw my dad do that exact thing. You know, he retired a couple of times in his life. And then in the last one, he basically sat for 10 years and watched cable news, didn't move and didn't do anything. It didn't really have a purpose. And I just saw, unfortunately, him kind of wither away. And I'm like, wow, those are some good years that you messed up because you're financially set. But now you kind of choose to weaken your body as you go through that period of time and maybe even weaken your mind. And then you kind of wither away and it's just a shame. So you're absolutely right. Have a purpose. Don't lose that purpose. So retire early just means change your purpose, in my opinion. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. So it's how long you're going to live, how much are you spending, and how much have you saved up? Those are the three variables that you put into that formula for figuring out that retirement calculator. What about the old 4% calculation that people use, a lot of financial actuarial people use, and they say, well, we're just going to draw on 4% of what we make. Has that been changed and skewed with our, you know, most recent year here where we've raised rates like crazy and now interest rates on bonds are much higher or mortgages are going to be higher? You know, has that affected your calculations?
Yeah, that 4% is a rule of thumb. It's a starting point, I would say. And it's something that we actually calculate for people in the retirement budget calculator to show them what that withdrawal rate is the first year of retirement. So for our listeners that may not know, what it says is you add up all the money you save. So let's say you've saved $1 million. And the rule of thumb says you can start out by taking $40,000 a year and adjust that $40,000 4% by inflation every year. And that's assuming you have a 60% stock, 40% bond portfolio. And there's been some studies that came out recently, especially when we were in those really low interest rate environments, that show that 4% withdrawal rate may not be sustainable. Some people were advocating for maybe a 3% withdrawal rate. And then there's been some research done on dynamic withdrawal rates that say, you know, if you're willing to cut your spending in the future, you may be able to start at a higher 5.5% withdrawal rate based on the historical data. But again, the problem with rules of thumb is that they're, everybody has different size thumbs. And so it's not a very good way to have a lot of confidence when you're heading into retirement. And so I think the better way to solve this equation is, instead of saying, how much have I saved and then taking a percentage of that, instead what you want to do is focus on your spending, add up all of your spending. And once you understand your spending, then you can use the spending number to determine if you've saved enough. And the way to back into that would be, let's say you're going to spend $60,000 a year in retirement, $5,000 a month, and you're going to need $2,000 a month is going to come from Social Security. And, or let's say you're going to spend $60,000. Let's say you're going to spend $100,000, and you're going to have $60,000 coming from his and her Social Security. So maybe combined, they'll have Social Security. So they're going to need $40,000 a year. So then the question is, well, have I saved enough to support that? Then you take your $40,000, multiply it by 25, and that's a different way to back into the equation. But you're backing into it based on how much you spend rather than how much you've saved. But the great thing about the 4% withdrawal rule is that it does show historically, based on a 60-40 stock bond allocation, that most of the time that type of a strategy does not fail. One of the things that I've become a big fan of when it comes to retirement distribution planning is more of a bucket strategy. And a bucket strategy says that you diversify your money across time segments based on when you're going to need the money. So the traditional 60-40 stock bond portfolio says you just have all of your money in one pie chart, if you will, and then you're taking out those 4% withdrawals adjusted for inflation every year. The bucket strategy says, well, let's figure out how much your spending actually is, what those shortfalls is, diversify your money across time segments based on when you're going to need the money. And then the money you need in the short term, you want to have more conservative, and the money that you don't need for the longest period of time can be invested more aggressively. And we actually, one of the members of the retirement budget calculator community built a calculator to backtest a bucket strategy, and to do it in a way that's different than some of the academic research that's been done on this in the past. Because in the calculator, we actually show people how to create a bucket strategy based on their spending. And what we found was that if you started in a really bad year, like 1973, using a bucket strategy, and instead of having a 60-40 stock bond portfolio that you rebalanced every year, you created a separate asset allocation for each of the buckets. So in bucket one, you'd have 3 years of cash. Bucket two, you would have 40% stock, 60% bond. Bucket three, you would have 60% stock, 40% bond. And bucket four, you would have 80% stock, 20% bond. You rebalance those every year. What we found is that you actually, over a really bad period of time, 1973 was one of the worst start years historically, if you look back, you actually end up with more money using a bucket strategy in that approach. But more important than the performance is it buys you peace of mind. So if you're taking money out of an account that's falling in value, it's like being stabbed and going to donate blood at the same time. You've got a bad situation and you're making it worse. So by creating these different time segments, you can create this mental model and say, okay, I'm pulling money out of accounts that are falling in value, or I'm not pulling money out of accounts that are falling in value because I'm pulling money out of cash first. So it's just a different way to think about retirement. One of the challenges I think that a lot of people run into is that there's so many opinions about the best way to do this. And at the end of the day, everybody's going to have to come up with what works best for them. But yeah, there are a lot of different strategies that you can employ. And part of it's going to depend on how much you've saved and how much wiggle room you have. And, where your cash flow is coming from. Because again, retirement's all about cash flow.
Yeah, absolutely. But you brought it up. I didn't. You talked about the 60-40 portfolio. And I'm sure that's a huge variable in what you say. So let me just say, that second idea that you have with the separate buckets, to me, that makes a whole lot of sense. What doesn't make sense to me is this old 60-40 portfolio. Back when I was doing financial planning and running my brokerage firm, we used the, you know, 100 minus your age thing for how much you put in growth. And that's kind of evolved to 60-40. But if you look at what happened last year to the 60-40 portfolio, bonds were down 25% and stocks were down 25%. So the whole portfolio essentially was down 25% unless you had some other kind of hard assets or property or whatever to offset it. So do you think people should continue on that? I mean, is this market trying to tell us that, you know, because of this fiat system that we've been meddling in maybe a little too long, you could get my opinion on that right there, that we've kind of screwed things up and maybe we shouldn't be, you know, so rule of thumbish on it. Maybe we should use something like a bucket strategy. Are we there yet?
Well, you know, one of the things I think we have to be careful with is there has always been a lot of volatility in the stock market. That is a normal thing. What was not normal, what was in kind of an outlier, like you said last year, was with the rapid increase in interest rates and the impact that that had on the bond portfolio. And that really did have a negative impact on the overall 60-40 bond or stock bond portfolio. But one of the things that's good as we look forward is because interest rates have come up considerably. Morningstar just did a research report that said that withdrawal rates may be able to be increased a little bit because now people do have a little bit of income that they're going to be earning from that bond portfolio. It was pretty tough when interest rates were at zero for so long. And so that has reset some of these retirement numbers going forward from 2023 forward. So I guess part of it depends on when you retire, but you're right. I mean, we've made some significant mistakes. I mean, we've got over $30 trillion in debt. We continue to do deficit spending, which means we spend more than we bring in. We have some of the lowest tax rates that our country has ever seen, which is a good thing for people, but it's questionable whether or not that's sustainable going forward. So I think a prudent person could make plans for the future that says, I think tax rates are going to be higher. That would be one way to stress test your plan. Social Security is scheduled for some trouble starting in 2032 if Congress doesn't do something to make that program more sustainable. So we could see Social Security income reduced by 20%. At least that's what the most recent trustees report says. So a lot of these things we know about. They're not unknowns. The things that hurt us are the unknowns when COVID hits and all of a sudden everything tanks and then explodes as a result of all of the quantitative easing and printing of money. And then, you know, all of the money's getting sucked back out of the system and we're trying to find our equilibrium and our balance. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not a skeptic. I'm not a pessimist when it comes to investing. I believe that the markets work. I believe that the markets are efficient. I believe that people are going to continue to buy goods and services because that's the world we live in. I mean, the alternative is every business stops producing goods and services, and somehow we are going to go back to a time where you're growing carrots in your garden and I'm bringing you flakes of gold to trade for it. And that to me really stretches my imagination so much more than this belief that we're going to be able to continue to have an economy that's fueled by consumers that are buying goods and services. Right? I don't think that's going to end. Now, will the returns be different in the future than in the past? Well, probably. And you need that. That's why I always tell people when you're trying to make plans about the future, you want to hope for the best, but plan for the worst.
Exactly.
Hope for the best, plan for the worst. So if you assume higher inflation going forward and you assume lower rates of return on your money, that's probably a good way to, and you're going to live a little bit longer than what your family has. Those are some good things you can build into a good plan without crawling in under a rock. You know, I mean, there's some people out there that want you to just put all your money in gold, buy all Bitcoin and build a yurt out in the woods somewhere. And I don't think that's a very realistic way to live.
Yeah, I think humans will always continue to advance. I just think we humans have put our faith into some powers that have gotten us into a little bit of trouble, and we have to decide whether we believe them or not. And I think that's an important concern for you as you put together people's retirement plans is, you know, they're telling us that inflation is 6.1%, but I don't think anybody believes it because they have their own experience. Like, we don't need somebody to tell us what our inflation rate is when we know it's way higher than 6.1%. I know eggs are over 100% in where I live. So
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, few things go down and then the ones that are important, they take them out of the equation, like food and, and energy. So,
yeah,
you know, like, what's the point? Like, what else do we spend money on? If we're going to be out in a yurt, then who cares what food and energy is all about? But that's all we'll be concentrating on. Anyway, so I'm sure that plays a big role, and I'm sure that's a variable that you get to tweak with your clients along the way. So maybe let's shift, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about this retirement calculator that you have and why it's so dynamic and how it works.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say, you know, we, as a result of the podcast being touching a lot of people's lives, sure, and then the book doing well, I found that we are in a position where we, there are just so many, there's 10,000 people a day in our country that are heading into retirement. There's just no way, there's just not enough advisors out there to help that many people. Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there that don't want to work with an advisor. They want to do this on their own. And and a lot of the people that listen to my podcast are those types of people. They're the do-it-yourself camp. So I said, how can we build a tool to help more people make that transition into retirement and have a greater sense of confidence doing it? Sure. And one of the things I was frustrated with in terms of tools that were out there was I just didn't feel like there was a really good budgeting tool that helped people really model their spending in a realistic way. Like most of the retirement tools say, you know, just take 80% of your current income and use that as a baseline. But, you know, spending is dynamic. You've got some expenses you pay twice a year. You've got some that you pay quarterly. You've got some that you pay monthly. And I wanted to be able to see that ebb and flow of spending. So I started out, I had a spreadsheet that I had built for my family to help us budgeting on a monthly basis. And that's how the retirement budget calculator got started. I just wanted to give people more clarity around their spending. What it's morphed into is we now help people project out into the future to see what that spending is going to look like. You can have different inflation factor for each expense. We have those three numbers in there. So your time tab, how long you're going to live, using the Social Security mortality tables. We let people enter in all their assets and liabilities. We show cash flows into the future, things like Social Security and those increasing with inflation. And we just help people have a mental model so that they can see how their money's going to change over time and then project future rates of return. And so while the calculator started out as a tool to help people understand their spending, it's really developed, the piece that people are the most excited about is what we call the future view. And that's where people can look year by year to see how long their money's going to last. And the number one question that most people have as they're preparing for retirement is, have we saved enough? Are we going to be okay? And until you really understand what your spending is and how much you've saved, it's impossible to answer those questions. And that's what the calculator does. It helps people know if the numbers are going to work.
I love it. Where can people go get to this calculator, find out a little bit more about you and what you do?
Well, the calculator is a SaaS, software as a service. It lives in the cloud. It's just retirementbudgetcalculator.com. And really, that's probably the thing that I'm most excited about right now. Now, if they want to listen to the podcast, it's Sound Retirement Radio. Like you said, we've got a little over a million downloads there. My first book was Sound Retirement Planning. My new book is Retirement Calculator, How Much Money Do I Need to Retire? So the calculator gives you the tools to crunch the numbers, and the podcast and the books are all about the education to help you think about how you need to just think about the things you need to be thinking about as you're making this transition into retirement. This is one of the biggest financial decisions of somebody's entire life, this decision to stop working and to try to live on what you've saved. And so we just want to make sure that people are doing that eyes wide open, that they're not making mistakes, that they're not using a spreadsheet that they built that has errors in it.
Yeah.
And just try to help them have more confidence.
I love it. One of the themes on my show is that we just don't teach people about money in our school system. You know, our school system's 130 years old, and it's made for people, you know, how to build Model Ts, and they want you to read and write, but then we've gone off the rails on what we're teaching people. And one of the things, I don't know about you, but I kind of use money every day, and I want to know about it. And I think it's so important to have people like you that are out there saying, listen, know your numbers. And listeners and watchers, by the way, if you're out there and you're like, oh my God, a spreadsheet, that's complicated, I don't want to get involved, that, you know, that's a big hurdle that you put in front of yourself. Just take a couple of hours to do it. Go to the Social Security Administration, see how much you're ready to get when you retire from Social Security. Go to, people like Jason's tools and services, because instead of binge watching, you know, the next five episodes of Game of Thrones, you owe it to yourself to find out what the rest of your life is going to be like. And it doesn't take that much time, especially when people like this guy are putting out really cool tools and really good, you know, great products for you to go figure it out. Like, they're making it easy. Don't make it really hard on yourself, right? Mm. Don't be consumed with fear, like Jason talked about a little bit ago. So, you know, I could tell you care about people's retirement. You care about giving people a leg up and figuring out, helping them figure out, you know, what's going on in the future. So for that, I thank you. I think it's
awesome. Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate the education that you're doing and for the opportunity to share the work that we're doing. It's important. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience? I kind of sum some up and put words in your mouth, but maybe you have some other things that you want to share.
Well, again, retirement doesn't have to be complicated. Right. There's three numbers that we have to know. But the other thing is, I went and saw this really great movie the other day called Jesus Revolution. And I was really inspired by it. I brought my kids, who are teenagers, and they enjoyed it. My wife and I laughed out loud and we cried at one point. It's just a really good movie. So if people haven't seen that one yet, I'd encourage them to go watch it. And then, yeah, you know, one of the things I'm excited about is if we can help people remove fear, help people, especially this demographic, these people in this phase of life, you know, if we can set them free from worrying about money, I think they can go out and they can really influence our communities. And I think now more than ever, like you were saying, there's just such a need for people to mentor many people in the younger generation. And so I'm excited about that. If we can help them with their money, they're going to go and be able to make a bigger impact in our communities. And that's really the most significant thing, I think, is to be able to help other people.
Well, thank you so much. You obviously are helping a lot of people. So I want to thank you for your time and your wisdom on this show. And listeners, go out and get yourself a little bit more Jason Parker. He's got some cool stuff out there. So listeners, viewers, thank you for being here again. Jason, thank you for your time. And remember, until next time, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.